I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip of Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming pod. Yeah, that was right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was laughing. I was like, what's that called? It's our show. You know it. You fucking know it. And if you don't, I don't know what to tell you. Welcome. It's a show about fucking dudes and ladies and just really anyone just getting your genitals wet.
Yeah.
This week, we have the wonderful stand-up comedian Jade Cataprada on the show. She also hosts a podcast called Jaded. We talk about growing up in Brazil and being sexually open, finding your love and yourself during quarantine.
And the TV industry being full of shit sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to listen to more, you're going to head over to luminarypodcasts.com where you can get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month.
What was your introduction to sexuality when you were a budding young Jade?
Oh man, I had my first kiss when I was 7. I talked about it on my podcast. I closed my mouth and he opened his.
Oh wow, so he like ate your lips, huh?
So he like ate my face.
Yeah, I can't imagine a 7-year-old can kiss, but
well, Brazil, you know, things start younger there. Oh, people, like kids are more social.
Like I just went to my nephew's 6th birthday and I'm like, "7?" 7-year-olds kiss? Oh my God.
Well, Brazilians are kind of known to be like the sexiest of the people.
It's not taboo at all. Like socializing and sex is like very, like people don't really care about alcohol or drugs really because it's like all available and people are way more into like relationships and like socializing and stuff like that. And I remember having like kind of a full life at 11, 12, like going to parties and being like, how's your mom? How's your, you know, like having these full conversations. And then I come over here and people are like eating glue and shit. And I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? And I was really sexual and I moved to Charlottesville, Virginia and everyone. Just
oh God. Brazil to Charlottesville.
Oh God, girl.
Why did that happen?
My dad made holograms. He was like one of the pioneers of holography.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so he moved here. There was like a laser table. There was only a few in the entire world. And so he got this opportunity to open a business in Charlottesville and start it up. And he thought it would be like a nice transition.
Yeah. And it was not. It was not.
I want to talk about the Brazil does seem like a culture that is very comfortable with sexuality of whatever kind you got. And even at a young age. So, and you mentioned that drinking and smoking was not this taboo thing that you had to be. So were there a lot of alcoholics?
The opposite, because like, I feel like what happens here is that a lot of people hide their addiction, like
shame,
when they're kids. Shame, yeah. And also they're scared to get in trouble with their parents and stuff like that. So they'll like drink and drive. Like DUIs are not like really a thing in Brazil. You know what I mean? I mean, they have bigger issues. Like
But that makes a lot of sense. Like when you deprive or like teach someone that something is bad or they should stay away from it or whatever the fuck, it's going to swirl a mind fuck around that thing for them, no matter what their relationship to themselves is. So that's very interesting.
I think that's a problem in America. I think like a lot of people are told that sexuality is fine. Like I dated a guy who would never go down on me because when he was like 11, he got caught grinding with a neighbor and his mom made him like say 100 Hail Marys in front of the church and like tell everybody in the church. So he was like, he had all this like fucking guilt from like grinding on an 11-year-old. And it affected him for years, you know? And like the whole Catholic guilt about sex and stuff like that, that's all based on fear. And it's like, just everybody fucks.
So what was, there was no fear around sexuality in Brazil?
No. And they really taught me, like, you know, my mom and my dad were really open about that stuff. And
how, so like what did that look like in your household?
I was never like not allowed to go on, be around guys or like have a guy over. Like if a guy, you know, if I had boyfriends like in high school, they could like be in my room and stuff like that.
Wow. Did they give you a sex talk?
I don't remember. I think I just kind of watched all TV. Like I just had no boundaries. So like, I just learned about it on my own kind. I mean, I told you Rocky Horror Picture Show was like, watched that when I was like 7 or 8.
So did I though. I mean, I think, but I definitely had different rules from my brother. Cause like my parents gauged it on like our level of maturity. And so in third grade, I believe by sixth grade, I was so obsessed with Rocky Horror Picture Show that I watched it every single day for the whole school year, which is 180 times. So I've seen Rocky Horror Picture Show probably 200 times. And there was a point when when I had the entire script memorized.
Stop. It's his birthday today. Tim Curry's birthday.
Tim Curry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. April 19th, baby. April's a big month for me and my and everyone I love. April 17th is Victoria Beckham. Then April 19th is Tim Curry. I used to like celebrate it in the park with cupcakes. I have a problem. I've met him. Have you?
I haven't met him.
He's my favorite person of all. He's a doll.
Yeah, no, I've never met him, but I still, you know, that very first, I think that literally that's why I'm like pansexual.
It's an iconic performance.
Because like the whole, like a man who's very masculine with feminine traits, like really does it for me. Like my crush right now is Gottmik. Do you guys watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, no, but that's, I love drag queens, so.
Yeah, so.
A guy with eyeliner.
Yeah, he's so hot. He transitioned from a woman to a man, and now he does drag. His name's Cade, and he's just like this, like, very feminine man, and I'm just like, I just, it's just everything in one thing. Yeah, I just think it's so hot when men are in touch with their femininity. I'm like, there's nothing
and they're
hotter.
So that to me is true. Yeah, they're comfortable in their own body.
Yeah,
even every person has a female or a masculine and feminine side to them. Some they're of varying levels, but it's like when a guy is so allergic to his feminine side, it's like, okay, bro.
Like, who hurt you, dude? Like, ask your mom for a hug.
Yeah. So you had no sexual hangups?
Man, I mean, with sexuality, I just was like, from my ex, I just really wanted to be loved. Really, that was the thing. Like, I lacked that intimacy, that like partnership intimacy was like my number one. But sexually, we really groovy. I'm really open. I feel like if I don't know. Yeah, with sex stuff, I feel like that's my comfort spot.
Yeah, and then amazing.
The other stuff is harder for me. Like, so I have a lot of codependency. Like, yeah, like not vulnerability, but like, yeah, like letting go. Letting go of control is my.
I understand
one.
That. That's why I'm like, oh, I can fuck anyone. It doesn't really matter. You know, I'll be fine.
That's how I am. I'm like, I'll fuck anybody. But then it's like, but then what will my brain do to me that if the following week? Okay. And the following
days. Yeah. We have the same birthday, right?
Yes, we do.
Yes, bitch, man.
Do you go with Pisces or do you go like, I'm on the cusp?
No, I do Pisces. I'm actually a double Pisces according to my chart. So I'm like,
damn.
Pisces. Yeah.
Mine's Aries and Pisces.
Nice.
You got a lot of OCD. A lot of OCD. A lot of control issues. I'm like, we're having sex like this. No, we're having, you know.
Have you been in codependent relationships before?
Oh, yeah. The last one was the most Cody I've ever.
What about it specifically was codependent that you, when you look back at it?
I just felt like we never really did things apart. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everything I was involved in, he was involved in. We had all the same friends. Like we'd always hang out with this, you know?
Yeah.
But you said it didn't feel like that was your person. So like, why were you were just doing it out of habit?
You know, I had been into like really monogamous relationships. Boom, boom, boom. In a row, like before him was like a 4.5 year where we lived together. Before that was the same kind of thing where I would just push this thing. And also my parents were in a very codependent situation and they had a separation. And they're back together now. And
my parents did that too.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. So I separated. And I'm so glad that they separated because I started to realize like, wow, I was basing my relationships off of this like very codependent example. Yeah. And we're never taught that. We're never like, you know, you always look to your parents. I mean, what other relationship are you going to base your shit off of?
And you never in ones in movies, but that's also a bad idea.
Yeah. And you're never told that these are not healthy relationships until you find yourself in a similar model. And you're like, well, how come it's not working for me? Oh, it didn't work for y'all either. Okay, cool. I'm going to go make my own rules.
I'm right. Yeah. I was right that you guys were wrong.
I imagine too, being long distance, it's kind of impossible to be codependent.
Yeah. I like it. I feel like I've grown to be like my own independent person. It took me a long time. Even getting like my own apartment and living by myself and like just hearing my own footsteps again and all these weird little things that, you know, just like you forget that you need those things.
And alone time.
Yeah. And like, I felt like sometimes like a lot of people were like friends with me to be friends with him. Like I had this like kind of feeling about that. And I don't know. My self-worth was really devalued from it, from the relationship.
Is he someone who was he higher up than you in the industry?
Well, like at the time, like I was filming a show called Manhattan Love Story and he was writing on SNL. And I remember when I would go, I felt like very out of place there. And like everyone was like kind of looking down on me. And I remember when the show got canceled and it was very traumatic for me. But I didn't really understand. And they were like making fun of it on SNL one night. And I just remember being there being like, oh, this is so uncomfortable. And then kind of just hating. No. Just hating the environment and always thinking like, oh, it's so intense there. And then you know, having gone years later to like visit Chris Redd and being like, oh, these people never disliked me. It was like my own self-worth was so low that right. like, I projected my insecurities on everyone.
Uh-huh. Like, uh-huh.
And then I was
when
like,
did
no
you realize
wonder.
That was it. That was what it was happening.
It took me like probably the full 2.5-3 years to realize like, wow, this is not about them. It's about me. It's like my own shit.
It hurts. It hurts. What did you do with that as a Pisces? That's sort of a, whew, I mean, that is that it's hard. It's hard. That's a real big, that's a punch to the whole body.
It was because I was like, God, I could have been like happy this whole time.
Uh-huh.
Like I could have just been more accepting of myself and I would have had better relationships and I would have been further along. I mean, it took me a whole 13 years of being a comic to be like, okay, I guess I'll do a podcast. Maybe like, I don't think people like, you know, I have this like weird guilt.
You didn't want to promote yourself or.
Yeah. Like I didn't want to, sometimes I feel bad about like, I've never sold merch. Like I really want to sell merch. I have all this stuff I designed. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to like make them buy the ticket. And this, like, I have this weird.
What is it? Is there a certain part about you or is just like overall the self-promotion is just not your cup of tea?
No, I like it. I mean, once I do it, I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm glad I did it. But I think it's like that little immigrant part of me where it's like, okay, like just belong. Quiet. Don't like, oh, yeah, like just kind of fit, like, I want to fit in. Like it's this like ultimate feeling of like, I want to feel included and I don't want to feel.
Yeah.
And I don't want to,
were
wanna,
you
I feel
not
like
welcomed when
people.
You moved to Virginia?
Well.
Feels like a dumb question to ask. I've lived in Virginia and oh boy.
Yeah, even when I go back now, like I can see how they make fun of me. They're like, you're real LA now. I'm like, oh, you mean like I don't wear Patagonia every day? you know, they're always like kind of picking on me still.
But that's just because they, you know, it's people who stay in the same place that they were always were, just never even tried to live their dream. And so people try to take that out on you. Because people do the same shit when I go home to New Jersey. It's like, sorry you didn't believe in yourself enough to give it a go.
Yeah, like, but don't make me pay for that.
No, but we do pay for it because like, even if we go like, fuck you, we're like, there's still that little part of me that like wants to be liked and like needs the validation.
Oh, see, I don't have that part's missing for me. So I don't, sorry, you're fucking losers.
Fuck, I need some of that. Can you put that in a fucking pill form?
I hope you enjoyed that clip with our interview with comedian Jade Catapretta. If you want to hear the whole thing and other full episodes of Guys We Fucked, along with full exclusive episodes of other podcasts by Trevor Noah, Lena Dunham, Roxane Gay, Michael Rapaport, head on over to luminarypodcasts.com. A subscription is as little as $2.99 a month. You got that.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.